Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow believers, have you ever heard or learned something that was surprising to you? And maybe not in the sense that it was a huge surprise, but it surprised you in a little way. I'll give you an example from my own life, and maybe you have experienced it too. When I was a young child, I loved dandelions. I thought they were pretty yellow flowers, and I had great joy blowing on the flowers, seeing the seeds fly in the air, knowing that one day they would land somewhere and grow into a flower. And then imagine my surprise when someone told me that that dandelions aren't really flowers, but they're weeds. I was shocked by it. And maybe you have experienced that. Maybe you still experience that today with your own garden when you look at a flower and you wonder, is this really a flower or is it a weed that I should pluck out? So we can resonate with the farmer in Jesus' parable who planted wheat, but one day the weeds appeared and he couldn't distinguish between what was the wheat and what was the weeds. But Jesus didn't speak this parable just to tell us that it can be hard to distinguish what's a weed and what's not. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly spiritual meaning. And as Jesus said, those who have ears, let them hear. Therefore, let us hear and learn the spiritual heavenly meaning in Jesus' parable. And the first question we want to look at is this. Where do the weeds come from? In Jesus' parable, there was a farmer who planted good seed. He took the time to make sure that his field was perfect. But then during the night, an enemy came and planted weeds among his wheat, ruining his field. Eventually, the servants noticed this and they asked the farmer, "Didn't you plant just good seed? Then where did these weeds come from?" And the farmer realized that his enemy came and planted the weeds and destroyed his field. That's the story of the parable so far, but what's the heavenly spiritual meaning behind it? Where do these weeds come from? Thankfully, this is one of Jesus' parables where he gives us all the details. Jesus said, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil." The field in Jesus' parable is the whole world. The seeds stand for those who obey him and believe in him. And the one who planted the field is God himself. Now, Scripture tells us when God created the world, it was perfect, but one day Satan came and ruined God's creation. Now, here's the thing. You and I may have become so accustomed to hearing this fact that maybe it really doesn't resonate with us as much as it should. Therefore, imagine if you were God, and how would you feel? God did not create the whole universe in a single second. He could have, but he didn't. Instead, he took time to carefully construct his creation. And after each day, God looked at what he had made, and he saw that it was very good. You know what it's like to make or create something. You don't just rush into it. You do it step by step. You do it very carefully. And then when it's all done, you look at everything that you have made and you declare that it is very good. But then something can happen that completely destroys and ruins what you have created, and it affects you. The same with God. When his creation was ruined, he did not say, "Well, so be it." He was hurt by it. Because Satan came and tempted Adam and Eve, the good seed. And when they fell into temptation, Satan planted weeds in God's creation, weeds that disobey God and do not believe in Him. And that's why there are still weeds in God's creation today. That's where the weeds come from. They come from Satan. But now we want to ask a different question. Who will take care of the weeds? Going back to Jesus' parable, the servants asked the farmer if he wanted them to go out and to pluck the weeds out. Surprisingly, the farmer says no. He tells them not to go out because if they do, they may pluck out some of the wheat from the field. Instead, the farmer tells them, "We will wait until the harvest. Then we will gather all the weeds and throw them into the fire. And then we will gather all the wheat and bring it into my barn." Now, at first glance, this seems quite foolish to do. You don't let the weeds grow with the good soil or with the good crops. And besides, couldn't the servants distinguish between the two, what's a wheat and what's a weed? Well, here you see just how cunning and devious the enemy is. He didn't plant just any type of weed in the field. He planted a certain type of weed. It's a weed called a tare. A tare looks exactly like wheat. You can't distinguish it only until the harvest. Then you can weed out those weeds and burn them and gather the wheat into the barn. So what's the heavenly spiritual meaning here in Jesus' parable? Who is going to take care of the weeds? Notice that it is not us, but God who takes care of the weeds, and here's why. It's not always easy for us to distinguish who the wheat are, those who are believers, and those who are the weeds, who do not believe. Maybe in a rare circumstance, you know who a weed is because they'll tell you that they don't believe in Jesus. But almost all the time, we cannot distinguish between a believer and an unbeliever. We can't read a person's heart. We can't tell if a person has faith, but God can. And so on the last day when Jesus returns, he will send out his angels to weed out the unbelievers from the believers. And then he will take all the unbelievers and throw them into the fires of hell, and the believers he will gather into his heavenly home. God will take care of the weeds, but he also takes care of the weeds in another way. Ultimately, he takes care of the weeds on Judgment Day, but he also takes care of the weeds right now. After Adam and Eve fell into temptation, all of their descendants, including us, are born as weeds. We are born with the sinful nature, and by nature we are spiritually dead. We are spiritually blind to Jesus' message, and spiritually we are enemies of God. But through the Word, God planted the seed of the gospel in our heart and made us His own. He changed us from being weeds into wheat. He converted us from being unbelievers into being believers for Him. And so here we see that God and God alone is the one who takes care of the weeds, either right now by His Word or ultimately on Judgment Day. So if Satan is responsible for the weeds, and God is the one who takes care of the weeds, then what are we to do? Well, the answer is quite plain and simple. We are to live as wheat. We are to be who we are. And Peter told us about that in his letter this morning. Do not live the rest of your earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. We are to live as wheat, which means we are to live our lives for God. But do we live as wheat, or do we live like the weeds? As we look at our lives, we can easily see how many times we have lived as the weeds. But why do we do that? Why are we not always so eager to live as wheat that God wants us to do? A couple of reasons why. One, it can be hard to live as a Christian. As Peter said, the world thinks it's strange that we don't join in their sins, therefore they will mock us, they will persecute us, they will hate us. And so because of that, we may want to live as the weeds so that we aren't persecuted, hated, or mocked. Two, another reason that we don't want to live as the wheat is because we can view the lifestyle of the weeds as being appealing. Now, all those sins that Peter mentioned, that drunkenness, that lust, that idolatry, and every other sin, he mentions those to turn us off to those things. And we can look at those sins as being fun, entertaining, and satisfying. And so we don't want to live as wheat because sin seems to be so much fun, whereas living as a Christian seems to be so unappealing. And three, a final reason we may not want to live as wheat is because we just don't want to stick out. Sure, on a Sunday morning, we're fine sticking out knowing that we're going to church, but every other day of the week, it's just easier to blend in with the weeds. And all the while, we can excuse this in our minds, thinking that it's okay as long as we repent here or there or when we feel like it. But does that excuse work with God? Is God okay with that? God did not say live as wheat only one day out of the week. God did not say live as wheat when it's convenient for you. God did not say live as wheat when you're not being hated, mocked, or persecuted. God says live as wheat always. And he warns us to live as wheat because he tells us that the day of judgment is coming. Scripture says that judgment day is very near. And yet you and I can think, well, Scripture has been saying Judgment Day is going to happen for thousands of years, and it hasn't happened yet. Therefore, I don't need to be prepared for Judgment Day because it's not going to happen right now. But it can. And if we are not prepared, God will throw us into the fires of hell. As we sang in our hymn, delay not, but we delay. And for this very reason, God should not view us as the wheat, but to gather us as the weeds. And so as the prophet Joel told us, that when we are gathered into the valley of decision, we should tremble with fear about God's judgment upon us. But also remember what the prophet Joel told us. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. The Lord is your stronghold. He is your refuge. He is your protection on the day of judgment because of Christ. Christ perfectly lived as wheat, and yet God weeded him out. And Christ endured the eternal fires of hell and God's judgment on the Mount of Calvary. There, all of our sins, all of the times we lived as weed, was placed upon Christ so that he could give us his perfect righteousness, for he lived as God wanted him to. And since Christ rose from the dead, he speaks to us in his word, by which he has converted us into being believers for him. And now, knowing about Christ and his forgiveness and having him at the center of our lives, we rejoice to live as wheat. Because Jesus said, Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is what Jesus is teaching us in this parable. And let us hear and learn the spiritual heavenly meaning he wants to share with us. Where do the weeds come from? They come from Satan, who destroyed God's creation. Who will take care of the weeds? God will. He does it right now through his word and ultimately on judgment day. And what are we to do? We are to live as wheat. We are to rejoice to live for God, and when we fail, we are to repent so that we may receive his forgiveness that motivates us to continue to live as wheat until the harvest comes where Jesus will gather us into his heavenly home. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.